Yep.
I call to order the Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stenbrock?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, public communication. We do not have anybody signed up. Can you hear us? Okay, very good. Moving to board work session, I would like to congratulate our kids for showing at the Madison County Fair this summer. I was able to attend a lot of their shows and they all did a great job, so good work. I also want to thank the parents because we know it takes teamwork to bring these projects to the fair every year. So thank you, parents. And then of course, a special thank you to Mr. Hoffman and Ms. Ballant for all the work that they do during the fair. I know that they check up on our kids and they're making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing with their animals. So thank you all, a great fair this year, and we look forward to next year. Anything from you guys? Okay. So we will move to approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I make a motion that the minutes of the June 15th, 2021 and June 24th, 2021 meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Stenbrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinchel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikus?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We do not have anything for student recognition or employee recognition. No department reports and no superintendent committee reports. So we will move straight to the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Mrs. Zinnikus. We do have a full year's worth of data for 2021 now. So I'll pull up the 2021 spending plan. I want to pull it up in my Excel format because there's a couple things I want to point out. It's a little easier to see this way. So as you can see, we have a full year of actual data. For instance, we had projected to take in $7.1 million in our real estate tax, and we actually brought in $8,058,898. Now, a large reason for that is that we took in $2,080,000 in June instead of the projected $1.4 million. The difference is that we received our fourth advance closer to the end of the fiscal year. We received it actually on June 30th. So we had collected more in advances than what we typically get. And so we'll get a little less than on the final settlement that we received in July. So there's a little bit of shift that happens every year with that. So I just wanted to point that out there on the real estate. But with that, again, the income tax collected at full capacity, full collection this year, we were at $2.3 million, which was great. So that, along with everything else, helped us to realize an increase of 6.5% over our estimates for our revenue. So revenues were up, the income tax being a large part of that. And then also on the expenditure side, you see here we came in 2.2% underneath our estimates on our expenditures. So revenues are up, expenditures are down. We'll get to the overall impact of that here in a minute. But those two things combined allowed us to realize an ending actual balance of $4,731,901, which is above our projections. That ending balance was due to a excess of revenue over expenditures amount of $2,127,731, which is double what it was last year. And so I'll show you how we've turned the corner here in a second. So again, on our revenue analysis in total, you see there 11% increase. It's the same as it's full year data. So you see that large rise there in collections. Right there. And again, that's that real estate coming in at The advance is coming in a little sooner than the settlement, as well as the income tax coming in at full collection. On the expenditure side of things, we did show, when it all said and done, 3.7% at the end of the year this year on an increase. And a large part of that is we had $120,000 of transfers and advances that went out from the general fund. We had $63,000 in advances at the last meeting to the food service fund due to a delay in the receipt that we did receive in July. So that will be returned back to the general fund, and likely in the August meeting you'll see that. And then we also had the $37,000 that we actually transferred to the general fund due to the COVID shortfall that they experienced. They did not collect for a large portion of the year. Actual a la carte sales and student lunch sales and adult purchases when we weren't in session. And then also, even though the federal government provided lunch to every student, if they didn't take those lunches, we didn't get reimbursed for them. So there was a large push to try and get every student to take a lunch. That didn't always happen. So the salaries and benefits remained the same in that department, and the revenues weren't there like they were previously. So for the first time since I've been here in a long time, we actually had to transfer money to that food service fund. It's been self-supporting since I've been here, which is largely, you know, recently due to Mrs. Sherry Allen and her management of that department, and before her predecessor before that. So I think it is an anomaly for us due to COVID for that, along with the fact that she did experience some benefit changes in her staff, and those benefits, of course, are a large cost to a self-sustaining fund like the food service fund. So I think she would have overcome that ordinarily, but due to the COVID sales issues that she experienced, she didn't. So that was a piece of it. So, and then also the $20,000 that we could have maintained in the general fund, but we transferred to athletics, they experienced some similar hiccups with COVID as well. So if you take out that 100, and I say that, and I wanted to pull it up in Excel so that I could point out, if we take out 120, let's see, it's $120,000 at least, to get the exact amount, that brings us down below 3% on that. So which is still on the higher end of where we've been typically, but when we had the previous year at 1% and the previous year before that actually showing a reduction, it's starting to kind of normalize as we replace services that were reduced in the budget reduction plans, as we were able to go without certain staffing members in place due to COVID, that we were able to kind of manage things a little differently. So as we start to return those things, that amount as a percentage increase has gone up slightly over the previous year. Now you still see we're still on average over our five-year average still is 1.07%. So that's still a good history of that five-year average. But just a couple of things to point out there, that when we back out those transfers and advances, we're actually in a better position than what we show here when they're included. And again, 63,000 of that's coming directly back to the general fund.
Okay.
So even with that, we're at 1.23% on our five-year average, 3.7% on our overall for the year, which includes those transfers and advances from the expenditure side. On our cash flow, again, it was still a great year. And I'm just going to kind of start at the top here. We'll start at $7 million. And you see back here in 2013. Okay, our ending balance was $7.2 million, $7 million. Then it goes to $6 million, then it drops to $5 million, then $4 million, $3 million, $2 million. And then we approach the brink of disaster, and we're at $1 million. $1.6 million. The income tax was passed, thankfully. The budget reduction plan was in place that helped as well, allowed us to turn the corner. We saw our first carryover amount in a long time, $955,000. That was in 2021. And you see here that we've doubled that amount here in 2022, or 2021, as we reach full collection on the income tax. So it goes $3 million, $2 million, $1 million, and then up to $2 million, and then up to $4 million. So, I mean, that's a great thing to see, that we've actually turned that tide and turned that corner. There's still work to be done to maintain that, because if we're complacent, of course, we'll be right back to where we were at the one point, under $1 million in borrowing money throughout the year and wondering how we're going to operate. So we don't want to get there. So you see, we finished with $4.7 million. That's better than our ending balance. We haven't seen an ending balance like that since 2015.
That's good.
That's where we're at right here. So I know I explained that a little more than typical, but it is good to be able to explain that once we have a full year's worth of data to see where we actually ended up and that it was a little higher than what we've been in years past, but to also show we're demonstrating that on average a slow expenditure growth, and that also that revenues are up due to the full collection of the income tax and property taxes coming in as well at a higher, I won't say a higher amount, but we received more of them in this fiscal year. Seem a little bit less. I don't know if any of you have any questions on that.
Do you think with the lunches are going to be free again this year, do you think we're going to be in a situation where we're going to need to transfer?
You should talk to the microphone.
Oh, sorry.
Come on.
The spring lunch program is going to go on again this year. Do you think we're going to be in a situation where we'll need to transfer general fund money again?
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that we're going to have kids in for a full year, for one, hopefully, butts in seats, so to speak, to where they're at least able to better access those meals, to actually accept those free meals every day, whereas we didn't have kids necessarily in every day to be able to accept those, and getting those meals out to kids too can be difficult. So best case scenario, we've got kids in here for a full year, which that's as of now is what we hope for and what it looks like it will be, and then those kids are able to receive those lunches. That combined with knowing where we have a full year of kind of COVID operating data under our belts to kind of maybe better anticipate some of the revenue shortfalls and maybe be able to adjust some of those costs in that department accordingly. We do that already, but we'll just continue to build off of what we have, having another year's worth of data under our belt to be able to try and better manage it. So it's kind of one of those, I hate to overpromise and underdeliver, because they are on such a razor thin margin. The one thing that will help, and it's a motion you'll see, and it helps a little bit, but you'll see lunch prices going up slightly, that could help as well for the people that do end up paying the adult pay lunch prices, and then hopefully better, the students take better advantage of the a la carte options as well, being here year-round. Not year-round, a full school year.
I'm glad you showed that 1.7 over 5 years number. I think that's important, because that number 2.9 is kind of high, so it's good to keep in mind their five-year average.
Right.
There, because once we start really making the push to try to get the levy passed, the last time we did it, showing that information was helpful to show how we try to be good stewards of people's money. So I think that it's going to be important to point that 1.7% over 5 years number out.
We did have some additional costs throughout the year that were unavoidable due to special education costs that are mandatory, basically, and then they fluctuate depending on the student population that we have. So some of those costs are within our control, some of them are not. Everything that is within our control, I can tell you that everybody on our team does a great job of trying to minimize those costs as much as possible.
Any questions?
That is the only thing I have in my report, are those financial statements. So unless anybody has any additional questions, that would conclude my report.
Thank you.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial item I3.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
do not have anything in superintendent's report or policy and governance, so we will move to business.
Madam President, thank you very much. Just a couple of items there, a few different items there. One is the Madison Plains Local School District Safe Return to In-Person Instruction and Continuity of Services Plan. That is the plan that I showed the board last month at our special meeting. And that is a plan that can be fluid. We can make changes to that. And in fact, we actually have to make change. Well, we have to revisit it every 6 months. And so we will take a look at this again at the very, at the furthest amount out, it would be late November or December. So we will look at that. But that is before the board this evening for their approval. We are authorizing a contractor agreement with Madison County Public Health for nursing services. That is an annual agreement that we do every year. And we are no different than the other county schools, or the other schools in the county, rather, that we obtain our nursing services through Madison County Public Health as well. And then finally, there is a request to approve the changes to the breakfast and lunch prices. And this year, I'm happy to report, somewhat happy to report that the only changes are for the adults. So the adult price, if the board approves, will be $4 for lunch, $2 for breakfast. There will be no change to student lunch and breakfast prices this year. And of course, as Mr. Mason had mentioned also, as things currently stand, students will not have to pay anything for lunch or breakfast due to the program from the federal government.
And if I may ask, what was the adult price before for lunch and breakfast?
Mr. Stone Rock, you know what? I'm afraid off the top of my head, I don't know. I want to say it was in the ballpark of around $3.50, and I believe it was around $1.50 for breakfast. That was the general ballpark. It might have been $3.65 and $1.65.
I'm curious because I don't want to. I want to make sure we're not like doubling or tripling it.
We are definitely not doing that. The hope is that with this increase, the hope is that we don't have to raise the adult prices for a couple of years. But for this first portion of the business meeting, or the business section of the meeting, excuse me, that is all I have.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L4.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Nikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
And then, Madam President, the only other option, or the only other item in the business section of the meeting, is the approval of the resolution proposing the levy of an annual tax. And this is the renewal. I want to be absolutely clear about that. This is the earned income tax renewal. It is exactly the same as we had on in the spring. There are no changes. It is 1.25% on earned income, and we are requesting a 10-year term.
Okay. Madam President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following resolution. Resolution proposing the levy of an annual tax for school district purposes on the earned income of individuals residing in the school district and to renew an income tax expiring at the end of 2023 and determining to proceed with submission of said levy.
Second.
Discussion?
I just think it's important to point out what we've already discussed, like how we came to the 10 years, basically to give us some long-term stability, but not make it permanent so that people can vote on it again, that kind of thing. That's some of the questions, you know, how we came to that number. And obviously the earned income tax is important that people understand it's only on earned income. So.
Yeah, I received a lot of people that said it's up already for renewal. We just did that. And it was 5 years ago, so it seems like you just did it, right? So I think that, again, that's a reason for the 10-year also.
Right. Yeah, I got that question too as far as what you said. It'd be good for 5 years. Why are you doing it now?
Right.
I think that's a fair question, but obviously it doesn't extend any
right.
time. It's 10 years
correct.
From the 2023 point. Again, I think our rationale is we're trying to have that stability, have that forward looking and our plans in place where we can try to do other things as a district. I know that's where I'm from, here, coming from.
Yeah, I think it's critical.
And gives us, obviously, this is the second opportunity to try to pass it. It gives us multiple attempts because we believe in the importance of it, so.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing I suspect is that, assuming this passes tonight, that the deadline to file this with the Board of Elections is August 4th. So the first resolution and the second resolution, along with the Department of Taxation certification, will be filed with the Board of Elections by August 4th.
Very good. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bowie?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinshel?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to personnel.
Madam President, a number of personnel items before you this evening. We have had quite a bit of movement, both in and out of the district. And so there are a number of supplemental contracts before you this evening. Unfortunately, there are a number of resignations before the board this evening as well. However, there are also some hirings in front of the board this evening. And that really kind of takes or sums up what is in the personnel section this evening. So very standard things.
Madam President, I propose, or I make a motion that upon recommendation of the Superintendent Board approve personnel items M2 through M17.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Bowie?
Yes.
Ms. Reinshel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving to donations.
Madam President, we do have a couple of donations before the board this evening. One is from Mr. John Furness and Short Haul Express to the athletic department. It is for basketball equipment. It is valued at $601.53. And then there is also another donation before the board. This one from an anonymous donor, estimated in value of, at $5,709.90. Also to the athletic department, this for girls' basketball uniforms. So we are grateful and very appreciative to both of the donors. We would like to say thank you to them. And again, just certainly are very appreciative of their generosity. It certainly benefits our students and our athletes, and we are grateful for that.
Yeah. Thank you, that's very nice.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinshel?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. We do not have any new items. However, we do have an executive session. So I make the motion to enter into executive session at 7:20. Four.
Second.
For the purpose of the following items allowed under the Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment of a public official. Now you can second.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please. Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Ms. Reinshel?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Executive session.
Okay, there will be no action taken after the meeting, so thank you for coming and listening. Our next meeting will be on Tuesday, August 17th at 7 p.m. here in this room.